Lord Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, who came from heaven to live in our world and suffer death to save us from eternal death, grant us such faith in you that we rely on your promise to rescue us and raise up the dead so that nothing may trouble us or cause us to doubt your word. We confess our doubts and anxiety over the future. Lord, we do believe in you. Help our unbelief. Grant that we may live according to your will, putting God first in all that we do and say. Bless us and our congregations and our synod. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for this morning is written in the 9th chapter of St. Mark, beginning at the 14th verse, and reads as follows, in Jesus' name. And when Jesus came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them and disciples disputing with them. And immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed and running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes, "What are you discussing with them?" Then one of the crowd answered and said, "Teacher, I brought to you my son who has a mute spirit. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not." He answered him and said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." Then they brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked the father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood, and often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." When Jesus saw that the crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "Deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more." Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him. And he became as one dead, so that many said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come home into the house, the disciples asked him privately, "Why could not we cast him out?" So he said to them, "This kind can only come out by nothing but prayer and fasting." Then they departed from there and passed through Galilee, and he did not want anyone to know it. For he taught his disciples and said to them, "The Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and after he is killed, he will rise the third day." But they did not understand this saying, and were afraid to ask him. This is your word, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear people who trust in the Lord God, St. Patrick today can inform us Christians about the important work of missions. In the 400s AD, at the age of 16, Irish pirates took Patrick away from his home in Britain and brought him to Ireland, where they made him a slave, and he became a shepherd for 6 years in that country. And during that 6 years, he was converted to Christianity. He then escaped and went back to Britain, and then went to the monasteries in France to study God's word. He was ordained in France, and then he went to Ireland, where he baptized thousands of people during his time as a missionary in Ireland. March 17th is the traditional day of his death in Ireland. Through St. Patrick's trials as a slave, God prepared him to get to know the people of Ireland, so that he could speak to them. And he moved Patrick to speak the gospel to them. So St. Patrick also demonstrates the Christian attitude towards enemies, that you want to go back and talk to them and tell them about the Messiah. When we deal with trials, the devil tempts us to not trust in God's care, as if God can't help or can't answer or doesn't want to. The people in our text had the same attitude. And so we need to look at our text today in order that we might see, as they do, that we trust that God can do all things well. This trusting that God does all things well means that in spiritual matters, man can do nothing good. As God, Jesus can do all things well. And as our Savior, Jesus does God's will. Who could not sympathize with the man's plight? His son is possessed by a demon so that he could not talk. The father must constantly guard the boy so that he would throw him into fire, the demon would throw him into fire or into the water. It is due to the father's diligence and love and care that this boy is still alive. Somehow the man heard that Jesus was in the area, and so he brought this boy to the disciples so that Jesus could drive the devil out and heal him. However, at that time, Jesus had taken Peter, Paul, and James, Peter, John, and James, to a mountain where he was transfigured. And while they were waiting, the man was dealing with Jesus' disciples that were left. The other nine disciples had compassion on the father, and they tried their best to drive the demon out, but they could not. Though at other times the demons were subject to them in the name of Jesus because Jesus had sent them out and given them power over the demons. These nine disciples could not drive it out. As Jesus said, it takes much prayer and fasting. They did not have faith. Amid all of that, the scribes and Pharisees began berating the disciples, saying that the disciples were fake and that Jesus was a charlatan, that Jesus couldn't cast the demon out either. The disciples tried to defend Jesus' honor, and so a crowd gathered and started arguing with them. And that's when Jesus came. The situation with the father seemed to be hopeless. The disciples couldn't do it. Jesus wasn't there. The Pharisees were saying Jesus was a charlatan. When Jesus showed up, the incident caused him to say, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you?" Jesus was not just talking about the scribes and the Pharisees and the crowd. He was mostly talking about his disciples, that they did not have faith. They did not have that strong faith in him. And because they did not trust, they could not drive out the demon. These nine were attached to Jesus outwardly, but they lacked the real trust in him. Now, you and I are not confronted with demon possession, but could not Jesus say about us as well, "How long shall I bear with you?" Have we been known to complain if we have trials and we don't seem to have any solution to them? Have we failed to trust in God when troubles and afflictions arise in our lives? Do we blame God for our troubles? Or do we live as God only exists on Sunday? That is, we don't read God's word or pray to him during the week. Do we do worldly things, and do they become more important than spiritual things? And so God could say to us, "How long will I bear with you?" Now, without true faith in Jesus, we cannot get rid of our sins or enter into heaven. The Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. For if we do not believe that Jesus is our crucified and risen Savior, we are still in our sins. We are on the road to hell. We will not know the peace and joy of Christ. Jesus warned his enemies in order to try and bring them to repentance. "You will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." Now, thankfully, Jesus was patient with the crowd, his disciples, and with us. We have every reason to trust in His will and in His word, because He has already proven Himself to be able to do God's will, to be able to conquer our enemies, and to be able to love us and care for us and to bring us salvation. You can imagine how disturbed the father was when the disciples could not heal his son. He even expresses doubts to Jesus, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Now, that if you can do anything comes from the fact that the scribes had said, Jesus is a charlatan and the disciples couldn't do anything. It was a statement of doubt, a lack of faith. He had heard stories about Jesus healing others, but now he did not have much hope after all the troubles that he had. Now, as God, Jesus could have simply spoken the word and have healed the son immediately and shown the father that he is the one to whom the father should come. But Jesus wanted the man to understand more about who he was and to trust in Jesus as the Son of God and Messiah. Hear the promise that he gave to the father. With all things are possible to him who believes. Not only did Jesus imply that he could heal the son, but he also implied that he could do all things, that he was God. And this is what the man needed to know and to believe, to hear that promise. All things are possible to him who believes. And so the father's reply is one that has comforted many Christians in their time of trial and afflictions. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. The father then trusted the promise that Jesus had given to him, trusted and believed that he could do it. He realized that his faith was not strong and perfect as God requires, but he believed the promise, the words of God. And therein, Jesus simply spoke the words to the son and said, I command you to come out of them and to enter him no more. Not only must the demon not leave the boy, but in the future, he couldn't come back and haunt the boy again. Now we hear from Mark that the spirit convulsed him on the way out, as if the people even thought that he was dead. And Jesus simply took him by the hand and lifted him up and gave him to his father. Here is a miracle of God's grace and power. Here is God answering prayer. Here is God doing all things well. Jesus can do these things simply by the power of his word, because he is God. Faith in God is vital to our future as well. But faith is not a work that we do, that we have to conjure up some way. Saving faith is also a gift from the Holy Spirit. Through his word, the Holy Spirit calls upon us to believe that Jesus is our divine Savior, that he can do all things, that he has done all things to rescue us from sin, death, and the devil. Faith believes that Jesus has been able to forgive all our sins by his death on the cross. And faith believes that because he is risen, we also have a certain hope of eternal life. Now, saving faith in Jesus also brings us trust in God's promises. The two are different. One is faith created by the Holy Spirit in what Jesus has done. The other is trusting God's promises, and we can grow in that trust or lose it as we live in our lives. The book of Hebrews presents us many people who had faith in Jesus as the Messiah, but also faith in God's word. Consider Abraham. By faith, he believed that God would give him a son, even though it was not possible physically for him to have a son. By faith, Abraham sacrificed and offered up Isaac on the altar, because he believed that God would have to raise him back from the dead if Isaac were to die. By faith, the children of Israel kept the first Passover, believing that God would send his angel and pass over the houses of those who had the lamb's blood sprinkled on the door frames. By faith, they crossed over to the Red Sea, believing that God had opened the Red Sea for them to be rescued from the Egyptians. And when the unbelieving Egyptians tried to go through, the waters came back and drowned them all. By faith, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to bow down to an idol, believing that they would go to heaven even if God did not rescue them from the fiery furnace. So the book of Hebrews says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. By faith, therefore, you and I believe that God created the world in 6 days. And no matter what the scientists or the rest of the world says, we believe it because God's word says it. God was there, and he has the power to do that. By faith, we believe that Jesus alone can save us and rescue us from our sins, because he is God, because he has done this for us. He came into this world to serve us and to rescue us. By faith alone, we believe that our sins are forgiven before God. Each miracle that we hear about in the Bible tells us that Jesus is God. Each miracle shows us that he can do all things well. Each miracle helps us to trust in God above all things. Now, no matter what happens in our life, we know that God has solved our problem, the best one, that is the problem of our sin. And because of that, we can trust in him in all the other things that happen in our life, because Jesus has given us heaven. As our Savior, Jesus does God's will then. After everyone left, Jesus went up into Galilee, Mark tells us, to prepare the disciples for what was going to happen in the future. He told them, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And after he is killed, he will rise the third day. Last Sunday, we heard two different times Jesus saying this to the disciples. So this was a continual message of Jesus trying to prepare the disciples to see what would happen. But the disciples simply could not believe that their Messiah, the one who they saw as Lord, would need to die. But they didn't understand why Jesus needed to die. We understand, God had given us the faith to understand that Jesus had to die in our place. This is God's solution to our problem, our greatest problem, the solution of sin. The disciples forgot what John the Baptist said, and when he pointed to Jesus and said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. The Lamb of God was that Passover lamb that needed to be slain on the cross for our sins. By his suffering and death, Jesus was able to pay the punishment, the eternal punishment of our sins. Not only ours, but for the sins of the whole world. Now, could Jesus do this? Can he be the eternal Son of God? Can he be perfect and holy and yet carry the sins of the world and pay for them all and suffer and die? The answer is yes. Just as he can drive out the demon with a word, just as he can raise up the dead with a word, so he can do all things well because he is doing God's will in order that he might serve us and die in our place. Jesus did not need a miracle as he hung on the cross. It was a miracle of love that he stayed on the cross. The enemies thought, well, since Jesus doesn't come down, he's not the Messiah. He can't do it. He can't be God. But love held Jesus to the cross for us so that we might have forgiveness and eternal life. And now God has given us such faith to believe in Jesus, that he has done all things well, that he has accomplished God's will, that our salvation is complete, and that through faith in him, our sins are forgiven, and that we have eternal life. And that is what we are to believe in Jesus, to trust in his word, to trust in his promises, even though we cannot see that how God has forgiven us. We have been baptized, we have heard the word of absolution, we received the Lord's Supper, and these are evidence of God's forgiveness towards us. Those are miracles of God's grace to us. We are to believe him and trust them because they come from God. What a blessing it is to know God and to trust in his care. Yes, we will experience troubles. Yes, there are troubles throughout the world that we hear every day. Yes, even God's children will have floods in the Midwest or other troubles that come upon them. But God is still with them. He will carry them and help them in their time of need, because he has already taken care of their greatest problem, our greatest problem, sins. May the Lord bless us as we hear his word and we trust in that word and his promises, so that we may one day see him in heaven and believe in him for eternity. God grant this to us all. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Amen.